Hello, everybody. It's Lee Miltier, your Millionaire Smarts Coach. I'm very excited. I have a fabulous, very important topic this month, and it's called Breaking Habits, how to take control of your life, how to take your life back. So I hope you'll gather yourself together, get pencil and paper, and take some notes, because I promise you this program is going to assist you greatly for all those broken resolutions you have. Okay. Let's really get started here. A lot of people have already broken all the resolutions. They think they're too tough. But let me just share an important thing for you. It's all in your head. You see, the truth is we have a pleasure-seeking chemical that is released when we do something enjoyable, such as eating chocolate, and it conditions our brain to want to reward that behavior again and again, which is why it makes it so hard for us to break bad habits. Now, I know it's just the beginning of the year, and most everybody has already found it's hard to keep up those resolutions, you know, to junk the junk food, to get off the couch, to quit smoking, to lose that weight we all want to lose, to get into that gym. But the truth is, there is a biological reason a lot of our bad habits are really hard to break. They're literally wired into our brain. Now, I'm not telling you that so you have an excuse to give up. Certainly not. But to understand that some of our unhealthy behaviors have become ingrained, great scientist reports are now learning some tricks that can help us replace bad habits and bad things that we're doing. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, why are bad habits stronger than good habits? Well, one, you're fighting against the power of an immediate reward. And the truth is, fudge versus broccoli, that's not much a choice for most of us. That chocolate's yum factor tends to beat out the knowledgeable thing that we know to do than sticking with vegetables to bring that eventual reward of lost pounds that we want. But at that moment, you know, if we're stressed, we're tired, we're frustrated, we're upset about something, we tend to give ourselves permission to do those things that ultimately create in our bodies and in our mind loss of confidence, too much weight, not enough exercise, and basically poor health. I don't think some of us equate some of our bad habits with our financial future. So I'm going to give you some statistics that were just released. And they certainly got my attention, and I'm not going to, you know, overwhelm you with, but I do want to just share with you some interesting things. For example, overeating. The cost over a lifetime of overeating is estimated at $258,000. That's the cost of a nice size house in the Midwest. America clearly is not healthy. Many places in the world are not healthy. And it is said by the National Center of Health Statistics that a whopping 2/3 of Americans are either overweight or obese. And sadly, these statistics haven't convinced too many people to eat less, exercise more, or just add more fruits and vegetables to their diets. In fact, it is predicted that 3 out of 4 people will be overweight or obese by the year 2020. I have to share with you that you've got to start thinking not only about your health, but you've got to also think about your pocketbook a little bit. Obesity costs anywhere from $4,879 and $2,646 a year for women and men, respectively. Now, if you tack on the value of lost life, which can be anywhere from 8 to 10 years, that makes it even more dramatic. Now, here's another interesting thing. If you work in an office and you are a woman, this can cost you between $6,000 and $8,000 a year in your salary. And it is It is a proven statistic by Cornell University that white females gain 64 pounds. When they do that, their wages drop 9%. Now, I'm not saying that's fair, but that is a reality. We are creating bad habits because we sometimes just have lost our discipline, or we have just given up on ourselves, or life just seems so stressed out that we are now substituting food for love. Another interesting statistic, if you're a smoker, the cost over a lifetime, now this is the cost of a 24-year-old woman over a lifetime, on an average of $86,000. For a 24-year-old man over a lifetime, it's $183,000. So let's break this down a little bit further. If you have a pack-a-day habit, you're blowing more than $4,000 a year. And by the way, you poor New Yorkers are paying more than $11 more for a pack of cigarettes. Not only does smoking take another 8 to 10 years off your life, but it significantly increases your insurance cost. From your life insurance, you're going to pay 3 times as much as a non-smoker, to your homeowner's insurance, because non-smokers typically get at least a 10% discount on their premiums. Even your auto insurance, non-smokers generally receive a 5% discount. And don't forget your health insurance. And the truth is, smokers pay several hundred dollars more per year than non-smokers. Now let's play with another interesting habit, and that's called playing the lottery. Over a lifetime, studies show that the heaviest lottery players, which tend to be 20% of the 82% of the lottery revenue, are usually low-income minority men who have less than a college education. And in the Journal of Risk and Uncertainty, which was published recently, they found that those earning an annual of $13,000 or less spend a whopping 9%, about $1,000, of their income on the lottery tickets. Now, why? Because poor people see playing the lottery as their best chance for improving their financial situation, according to the Carnegie Mellon study. Now, the truth is, your chances of striking it big are slim, like 1 in 195 million, and the cost of a lifetime of people who play the lottery is $31,750. I could hardly read that, folks. It's so frightening. It's so much money and such a waste. You know, with the economy being crazy, my office creative director, who a lot of you will know, Carly Jones, recently just quit smoking. And to my surprise, she said to me, I am saving over $200 a month in actual savings from cigarettes that I'm now putting towards my college loans. So what an intelligent thing to do. If you have a habit out there that if you start adding it up, you know, like I don't have the statistics on coffee or Starbucks, but it is pretty mind-boggling. If you're spending $3 a day, you know, 5 days a week on coffee, or just think about that vending machine, or you know, the stops at 7-Eleven. If you would just have a wake-up call, folks, on what your really bad habits are financially costing you, you might get kind of excited of what the rewards would be if you actually decided to, one, face it, and two, you know, get real with yourself of how could I use this money, these resources, the time, in a more resourceful way. And you know, I'm going to admit to you, I have had bad habits, and I'm a person like everybody else. I deal with stress and frustration and disappointment and fatigue. And, you know, it's really, you know, easy to go into a bad habit. And, you know, bad habits aren't like some accident that happens. It's because we actually start those habits. Again, we're creatures that are hardwired to give greater value to an immediate reward as opposed to something that is delayed. Now, how does that bit of happiness turn into a habit? It involves a pleasure-sensing chemical called dopamine, and it conditions the brain.